This morning, I want to speak briefly about giving thanks at Thanksgiving for the gifts and blessings in our lives. I stand here today feeling very good about Thanksgiving. My family and I, my daughter, my wife, and I were the host for my immediate family clan. There were 14 of us that got together. They all came to Norfolk to spend Thanksgiving with us. We told a lot of tales, ate a lot of food, played some games, complained about a lot of things, but we shook hands and kissed each other goodbye when it was all over. So I'm proud to be able to say we can get together at Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving means a different thing for different people. And there are a lot of factors that come into how we celebrate or don't celebrate Thanksgiving. It can be because of background, because of beliefs, because of culture, ethnicity, the experiences we've had. It might be because of generation. However, when we fail to acknowledge with thankfulness our gifts and our blessings, I think we miss something. Epicurus had this to say about it. He admonished us to do not spoil that which you desire for and have not. Remember that what you now have was once something that you hoped for. And so hope is a big thing as a part of giving thanks and showing gratitude. Melody Beattie had this to say about gratitude. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have enough of and more into something to give to somebody else. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It turns denial into acceptance, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense out of the past, brings peace to today, and creates a vision for tomorrow, end of quote. Our world is very fractured. There are a lot of things, if we could do something about it, so we say, we'd make some changes. We, in fact, can. You noticed I said we. People getting together on one accord, that's what they would say in the Primitive Baptist Church, getting together on one accord, you can make things happen. We're fortunate. We have this beautiful space to come to. And we can come as we are. We say that on, I don't know whether we realize what we're saying. You can look at me and tell I'm black. There are a lot of places that I still can't go and be free. I can come here. And I know when I see Phyllis, I'm going to get a hug before the day's gone. When I see Patricia, I'm going to get a hug before the day's gone. Howard Adams, a black guy, can get a hug in the Seaview Unitarian Universalist Church. That's an awesome thing for me. And for that, I give lots of thanks, and I'm grateful. But let me share with you quickly some things that I really have in my heart about Thanksgiving and thankfulness. First of all, I'm thankful for health, life, and strength. My mother used to say, when you pray, pray for health, strength, and wisdom. Health so that you can follow directions and can get where you're supposed to be. Strength so that you can carry your load for the challenges that you have to face in life. And wisdom so that you make good choices. I used to hear her say that, and I didn't know what she meant. And then Daddy would follow that up by saying, listen, listen. You're going to hear somebody. He said, I hope you're going to hear me. If you do, you'll be further in life. But he also warned us, read the paper every day. I was intended to bring it. Because yesterday, if you'll notice, they had declared war on lettuce. It was the headlines. And it was in the paper, the front page. And I bet you somebody's going to go home and eat that lettuce and get sick. And they declared war on it. I knew that from the time I was a little kid. My daddy used to tell us all the time, read the paper every day. They might declare war, and you won't know nothing about it. And so I'm thankful for those messages that I got about health, strength, and wisdom. I'm thankful for my family. I'm blessed to have a loving, gifted, and supportive wife, Elois, and a daughter that's special, always has been. She's different. That's how I knew I didn't need but one. I'm blessed to have an extended family of brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, grandnieces. That group came to see me on Thanksgiving Day. From my immediate and extended family, I saw examples of excellence, modeling, forgiveness, all kind of stuff. But I saw a spirit of faith and hope that allowed them to face segregation and discrimination and keep right on going, to demonstrate determination and perseverance when things were tough. They didn't quit. To nurture and protect the young. I hope you all nurture the young people in your community, in your neighborhood. There's a little baby on my floor. She's a grandbaby, and the grandmother goes and gets her every day. And I've been talking to her since she was born. And she saw me in the grocery store. She's not quite a year and a half. And she ran up to me. Black guy in the grocery store. The baby came to me, who I have been nurturing since the day she was born. And I'm going to challenge you to nurture the youth and the young in the neighborhood. But they also said to maintain a spirit of independence when the odds are stacked against you. If you have faith and hope, you can keep on going. The lives that my family lived brought me enlightenment, love, joy, mentoring, encouragement. And it helped me to be all that I had the capacity to be and be satisfied with it. I have no regrets. People always ask me, if you could live your life over again, what would you do different? I don't have any regrets. I do the same thing. I still want to be a Unitarian. I just wish I had discovered it a little bit earlier in my life. I give thanks for freedom. And I want to speak to you more about that, because freedom is a precious gift that we should never take for granted. But I was not always free. I was born and grew up unequal in an unjust rural countryside of Virginia called Batsos Hall in Pennsylvania County, which is about 200 miles from here. I'm going there today when I finish. I've got relatives that are ill, and so I'm going to drive to see about them. I can trace my family back to the 1700s, and I placed on the tables a book that I wrote about this experience, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. For most all of us, our story has not been told, and we hear it, and it makes us angry because we know that's not our story. I wrote my story, my family's story, in a book. I trace my roots back to the Harrisons, which was a wealthy white family that owned over 10,000 slaves. They had more than 20 plantations. We grew up on the Berry Hill plantation. My great-great-grandfather, Benjamin, and his wife, Matilda, their son, my great-grandfather, Benjamin, and his wife, Cecilia, and their son, my grandfather, Jube, and his wife, Mary, and my father, Daniel Adams, were all born on the Harrison's plantation. I, too, was born on the Harrison land, but by the time I came along, my grandfather, Jube Adams, had bought 100 acres of land, and he'd built a family homestead on it. And so when they brought me home, they brought me to Adams' house. that's special. And so when Stephanie was born, we owned a little house in Portsmouth. And when I brought her from the hospital, I walked in the yard and told her, baby, you are standing on Adam's land. If you get in trouble, run and get in your yard and tell people, don't come up in my yard. This is Adam's land. And so I tell young people, always own your own house. So at least when you run to your part of it, you can tell people, leave me alone. I think that's an important concept. But I brought that from this huge family that I got. There's not enough time to tell you all that I want to share to you about the anguish and the bitterness and the degradation that segregation brings upon people. But I want to mention it simply because there are still people in America who are not free. We have not passed the Women's Rights Bill in this state. People don't realize it's been 50 years and we still haven't said yes to it. And so women, it was never designed for women to be free. We ought to be mad about that. Not to go kill somebody, but we ought to be mad about it. And so we ought to talk about it to our friends and our neighbors and wherever you go. Men ought to do it. If you've got a wife or a sister, I have a daughter, wife, sisters. I want them to be free. I wish my mother could have been all she had the capacity to be. And so freedom is special. And so today I give thanks for that. But people made that happen. The civil rights movement made freedom come to me in my lifetime. I give thanks for the Black Lives Matter. I'm thankful for that. It's an initiative that speaks to the lack of equality, inclusion, justice, and respect that should be granted to Black folk, not there. I know that's shocking. I travel all the time. I'm a 2 million miler. Next year, I will turn 3 million miles on Delta. And I'll be standing at the head of the line, and people will come from behind the counter and ask me, are you sure you're in the right line? And they never ask any Black folk, white folk, I mean, are you sure you're in the right line? They still pick me out. And I dress, I do everything to make it so you don't have to bother me. But they do. And people ask me, say, well, why this separatism when you say Black Lives Matter? And I say, it's not about separatism, it's about inclusion. It's about having the gifts that everybody else has got. There was a time we have people in this congregation who just happen to be different. They're gay. And they can love whoever they want to love. They can marry whoever they want to marry. They can have a home, a career, and not have to hide in the closet. That's awesome. We ought to think about that. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about it because of that. But the Constitution says that ought to be true. Let me just speak to that a minute because I want you to hear that. I said the Constitution. And when you hear the right speak about it, they always go back to the meaning from the Founding Fathers. Do you know the Founding Fathers? You had to own land and be wealthy to vote. So poor white folk were never counted. Women were not counted. Blacks who were slaves were not counted. If you interpret it that way, I couldn't come to this church. I want you to get quiet and just think about that for a moment. Not in anger, but to understand it. Black folk are stopped and questioned and harassed and detained disproportionate to anybody else. Let me just tell you one simple one. I worked at the Greyhound bus station when I was in high school. And we had the white waiting room and the black waiting room. And you couldn't eat in the white waiting room. You could eat in the black side. But if you were from Africa and you had on your African garb, and you could be black and go through the line and eat. And they were not citizens of this country. That happened in my lifetime. Black Lives Matter. And this church stands for that. And I want to challenge you to think about those words. Finally, I'm grateful for this church and the role that it plays in my life. I discovered this place, not this church, but the Unitarian Church of Norfolk in 1968. I joined the next year, and I've been active Unitarian ever since. And this church has been a blessing in my life, but I particularly like it because I can commit to its principles. And so I want to read them as the way I commit to them. To respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person, regardless of anything else. To observe justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. It just simply says, I'll treat you right. To help you and everybody else search and find truth and meaning in your life, their life. And I support that search wherever it might lead you. And that's what we say. To observe and practice the democratic process in all our dealings. You can have your voice, and I commit to listen to it. You might not be able to win me over, but I'll listen. To work towards a world community where peace, liberty, and justice is lived out for all. And finally, to respect the independent web that connects all living things. As I close, I want to close with these words from Reverend Norma King, a Unitarian Universalist minister. She says that we should always join hands on a day where we have the abundance. And we put our hands together in our saying so to make sure that we're saying, I support you. When I kiss you, Phyllis, I'm saying, I love you. That's what I mean. It says we ought to remember those who are less fortunate, that we ought to share. It says that we cannot rest when Native Americans are not allowed to come home to the land that they once owned. It says that you can be whoever you are and whomever you love. And so for this church, for nourishing my spirit, for challenging and strengthening me for the journey that I'm trying to live, and for all of the gifts and blessings that have come to me in this lifetime, I give thanks. Thank you all so very much for letting me share my words with you this morning. Let us go forth in peace, joy, and have a good time living the life that was granted to each one of us. Amen.